listening to Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Dr. Jessica Turner, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica, your one stop for all things wellness, from nutrition to relationships to finances and everything in between. I have to say, it feels like forever since I've been able to hang out with you guys, but I want you to know that we have been working so hard behind the scenes with lining up some incredible guests to finish off the rest of the year strong. And may even have a little something up our sleeves for the holidays. And so I'm excited to be back with y'all and make sure that you don't miss what is coming up. So today we are going to be talking about what I'm most passionate about, and that is, you know, just our mental well-being and burnout, but it's going to be from a slightly different perspective, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be from more of the outside perspective, but still within. So you will see what I'm talking about soon. But I want to welcome our guest, Katie Lewis. Katie is a registered veterinary technician from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She is a 2018 graduate from an AVMA accredited veterinary technology program. She recently launched her company, Evolve Veterinary Consulting. And this was a passion after noticing many technicians she was working with were leaving the field due to burnout. You know, they were showing up day after day doing the same thing over and over, and there was little to no, you know, ability to advance forward in their career. And so she saw that need and ran with it. So with Evolve Veterinary Consulting, she utilizes resources, networking, and guidance tools to assist veterinary technicians with finding their passion within the field, in the form of career advancement recommendations, advanced certifications, or VTS. While owning Evolve Veterinary Consulting, Katie also works as a relief ER ICU technician at an emergency specialty hospital, and she is also an adjunct instructor at Tulsa Community College Veterinary Technology Program and is involved with her state technician association. So I know that is like a lot to take in, but I'm just so excited to welcome you, Katie, to let everybody hear your story and just kind of hear how all of this has come together. So we're excited to have you on.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I appreciate it.
So I always love to jump in with just, you know, what's your story? Like, how did you get to where you are today and doing the work that you're doing?
That's definitely a field trip. I originally was not going to go into veterinary medicine. Originally, I started wanting to do art school, had applied, all that good stuff, and was going to go do that.
Okay, we're already best friends.
Perfect. Yes. That was a passion of mine for a long time. Decided to do that. First derailment, not necessarily derailment, but slight turn off course. Got into a relationship and decided to go on that trip with a jockey at the time. So I got into the horse racing industry for quite a few years and did that. Got into photography, art related. So I worked for a company called Cody Photography. They are the official photographer for quite a few racetracks around the country. Did that and realized that I loved doing that. I loved working with the horses. I love everything about it, but I wanted to do more. I hadn't been raised with horses all that much, so it was a little bit tricky for me to get the hang of it. I did better with feet on the ground instead of off, so that limited myself a lot. I watched a horse go down on the racetrack and realized, you know, watching the vet go out there and all that they did, and then there was a vet tech that came around the stables and pulled blood and everything like that, and I asked about it, and she said she was registered vet tech, and I hadn't even heard of that before. So I looked into it, made some decisions, took a little bit after moving around, and I applied when I got to Tulsa and went ahead and started that. And then it was just smooth sailing from there for a little bit, about 2 years maybe. A few more derailments, and I ended up loving small animal, completely turned off from horses after that.
Yeah, I was wondering how you went down that road.
It's a different perspective once you get into the actual medicine, understanding that it looks one way from one side, and then you start doing it and realize, I like that part, but what is this thing over here? And small animal medicine had a little bit of a nice thing going on. So I did that and worked a couple GPs And then decided that my level of energy and constant motion and going to set me up for ER. So I decided to try that. And that's where I've been for the last 8 months.
So I'm going to stop you right there because there's too much to work with.
It's a field trip. I tried to tell you.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hello, this is Caitlin Palmer. You probably know me as the desk wench. You know, the sweet TikTok receptionist who has to deal with the evil Karen Stevens. Well, if you like that, you are going to love my new podcast, Desk Wench Confessions. On my show, I have funny guests who tell me about their own Karens. Plus, we have contests, giveaways, and skits. Trust me, you are going to love it. Check it out on a podcast platform of your choice on Vet Candy Radio.
No, but it's good. It's good. Like the first thing that I just thought of when you were saying that, you know, kind of giving us a glimpse of once you got within the veterinary field, how you kind of pivoted with what kind of species you were treating. And then you pivoted again by what kind of setting you practiced with small animal. And you did that not only because of like specific interests, but because you recognized your strengths. When you said like you were so fast paced and like you were able to keep up with that kind of environment, I think that's really important. Like for anybody listening, there's going to be some of us that, I mean, no matter how equipped we are, we would sink in that kind of an atmosphere because we're not wired that way. And on the other hand, like more like you, possibly people that are, they thrive on that. Like that's how my dad is, being in the ER on the human side. He can make those quick decisions. He can, you know, he doesn't need a ton of time to like look over things and make those kinds of decisions on the go. But when you get in practice and you start learning your craft and you start seeing maybe how others around you, you know, your coworkers, how y'all work differently, that may be a sign that if you're somewhere that you're not quite happy, that you may have another option out there that may be more conducive to how you're wired and how you thrive. So I just wanted to touch on that because I thought it was a really good point that you did that. It's a great example.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing is, I didn't even know it myself. I knew because when I graduated in 2018, I was on my second GP. And then within 2-3 years after that, I went to ER. But the crazy part was from my interest from equine to small animal to ER, not only was I growing and learning as a technician, but my personal life had completely changed as well to recognizing who I was on the outside of the clinic, definitely affected my ability as a technician and what I found as an interest and a passion, which as a baby technician, I had no idea that until I get further and further into it and realize, you know, I'm changing and growing as a person. My passion as a technician is definitely going to change and evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many, again, people that may have been happy at some point and they see a shift and they can't really put their finger on it. And it may be changes on the outside that they're not really looking at because they're trying to figure out what changed within the clinic or within the work, you know, setting that they're in. It's very true. As you learn and grow as a individual outside of veterinary medicine, a lot of times that does lead us down paths that look completely different. And I think sometimes it's scary to like give ourselves permission to make that change because it's not what we've always planned for.
That is 100% true because I thought I knew myself enough that this is what I wanted. And when that change and opportunity, different avenues opened up, I told myself, no, that's not me. I could never do that. Especially with ER medicine, you hear, you know, the crazy stories, the many aspects of it and thinking there is no way in the world I could possibly do that. And understanding, no, you can. Just like when you learned as a young technician that you are capable of doing things, you just have to learn just like anything else. We always try and do our best. But at the end of the day, everybody has to start from somewhere. And it's totally okay to do that, even you know, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years down the road, you're not going to know it all. And having a new experience, a new thing to learn is an exciting thing. And it keeps you moving forward to just keep growing.
Yes, absolutely. You're making me think back to one of our recent guests, Dr. Zach, that was on, and he mentioned, because he specifically talked about his research and burnout within the veterinary profession. And he talked on the importance of us having goals or like something to work towards, some kind of, you know, advancement, which is going to lead in beautifully into what you're going to talk about. And it's so true. Even if it's just setting a goal of learning a new technique, a new skill, you know, within your craft, there's just something that that does for, you know, our being that keeps us in that place of growth. And I think that's a big part of why so many of us get stuck as well. So, okay, let's continue on your journey.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. Journey's slowly fizzling, but it's getting to current. Yeah, I switched from general practice to ER, which I've been since February. But one of the big reasons I did that, not only for myself, but because I personally was getting burned out, and I hate to say I was bored, but I was, and there's nothing wrong with general practice. To some, that is their bread and butter. They're wonderful at it, and more power to them. Unfortunately, with just my constant fast pace, I talk with my hands, I'm a multitasker, and it keeps me moving, which makes me very happy. I'm not a stationary person by any means, mentally or physically. It's just twitches anything. So I decided, you know, maybe I'll give ER a try. Why not? You know, what's the worst that could happen? Everybody's got to start somewhere. So I took a shot at it. No problem. Of course, I'm fortunate enough to be able to have, you know, contacts and friends who worked in ER that I was able to talk about and get the general idea of how it would work. And they absolutely, we know you as a person, you'll do fine. We'll be there for you if you need it, which was a huge relief for me. But one of the things, as I was thinking about doing it, I realized, well, that's great for me. And my clinic had become like my family, just like so many people out there. Our clinic, our colleagues, teammates, they're our friends, they're our work family. We want the best for them. And I had become invested in them over the years I've worked there and realized, you know, they have personal life, but you guys have worked here for a while. Is this it? Are you guys good? I'm going. Are you guys going to be okay as far as are you bored too? It can't be just me. Again, I don't want to make it sound terrible. Like I'm not better than anybody. But
No, I know exactly what you mean. And I do agree that I think there's some people that do really well and they crave that like routine. And they'd like to be assigned to doing things that they could literally do in their sleep because that's like their sweet spot. And again, you know, there's others that, like you, that's how you lose them because it's like you keep saying, it's boring. I mean, that's the best way to explain it. You know, there's no growth outside of, you know, your comfort zone.
I have a great friend, wonderful technician. She loves routine. Routine is her safe space. It helps with, you know, keeping her mentality going. Without routine, she is lost. She loves it, which is great. The only reason I had asked that is because I had noticed, you know, like anywhere else, colleagues talk, we're disgruntled, you know, sit in the break room, chit chat. So you hear things and you wonder, you say you're okay, but are you really okay? And then that got me going, okay, this is one clinic and I'm only fresh out of tech school, 2018, it's 2021. This has probably been going on for a while and it cannot be just me. There has to be more. So what is out there? I had contacted the Oklahoma Veterinary Technician Association and had asked them if, you know, is there anything out there? I'll go straight to the source. Do you guys know anything about what there is out there for technicians to be able to understand what are their options? I was fortunate enough, I knew about ER, but not everybody has that. I had a technician, wonderful, super amazing. Her thing was geriatrics. Geriatric animals were her thing. She was a blast, loved it all, but she took that extra special care with understanding that geriatrics, even though they come in for wellness, they are painful. Getting old is a privilege, but it comes with lots of aches and pains. And she was very, very thorough in understanding and told the doctor, hey, you might want to check. Mom's not saying anything, but watching this kiddo walk, he has arthritis. Just before you even go in your exam, letting you know, we need to focus on that because I don't think mom understands that we need to focus on that. Anything. She was great with geriatrics. So I had mentioned to her about a certification out there, the pain practitioners, that they, you know, they can have the option for veterinary technicians to go ahead and get continuing CE on pain control, especially with geriatrics. That could be wonderful utilization for the clinic. She's your go-to. You need a geriatric, anything, go ask her. And she loved the idea, but she's like, I don't know really what I would do with it. You know, I don't even know anything about it. And she left it at that. So after a couple of those conversations with people, I said, why isn't there somebody out there that can do that? So after talking to the Oklahoma Veterinary Technician Association, they told me the same thing. We really don't have that. I reached around and through vet forums, networking, all the stuff, led down a rabbit hole to people out of state, people elsewhere. And they say, no, but if you see a need, do you think maybe you'd be okay with filling it? I said, absolutely not. No way. I'm a vet tech. I just graduated from college. Nope. I'm good. I'm just going to keep learning and doing me. No way.
Oh my goodness. I was waiting for you to say absolutely yes.
So that's the crazy part. You say no, and then someone else says, no, we don't do that. Okay, here's an idea. Can you do something with this? We'd love to, but that's not really what we do. And finally, after enough no's, somebody has to say yes, and it's either going to be somebody else or it's going to be me. It ended up being me after a while.
How long did it take you to get from that no to like, okay, I guess I'm doing this?
It took a month and a half of maybe, possibly, I'll think about it. The no's had been coming in since November. The yes finally came in February. So probably longer, but the consideration came up about a month and a half. So no, after the networking and reaching out, I had the wonderful privilege of talking to, actually, I believe she was a past guest of yours at one point, Miss Alyssa Mages.
I knew you were going to say her. Just because of the work she does.
Wonderful human being. I reached out, bopped around from person to person. Her name finally came on the table and said, hey, ask. And I got in contact with her. Super lovely lady. She finally said, no, you're going to say yes. I was like, listen, I can't do it. There's no way. She's like, why can't you? I don't know how. She's like, well, you didn't know how to be a technician, but now you know how. I will help you. There's no reason you can't. You're right. There's no reason I can't. I guess I'm going to. So bless that woman. She's been my mentor, my rock since February, helping me through this journey. And I've said enough yeses that here we are.
You said yes to this too?
Yes to learning how to make my own website from scratch because, you know, vet tech life, doing the best you can out of college, student debt, only so much funds to go around. So self-made.
I'm dealing with the same thing with overhauling my website, and it's not fun because I'm not paying for somebody to do it.
No, I can learn to do something. I can learn to do a lot of things in medicine. I can learn to make a website. How hard can it be? So that took 8 months.
It's so true, though, because I'm not going to lie. When I was first presented with doing this show, I was like, no, like I don't even listen to podcasts and you want me to host one? Like I don't have the first idea of what to do. But I didn't say no. You know, like I've learned to not say no, but to like be realistic and understand, you know, like once you go through it enough times, you remember that you start from the bottom from everything. And so if it aligns with, and I remember telling Dr. Jill this has been a goal of mine to make a difference within the veterinary profession as a mental health advocate for years, and this aligns with it. So why would I say no? You know, so I feel like this was your heart, your passion. You kind of get to a point where it's like, you know, you would regret it if you said no.
Now that I'm here and after doing it, and you never find out how much you love doing something until it takes that one yes. And I tell you to it and realize you wake up, you get excited, you get happy, you're helping, and you're still involved with veterinary medicine. You're still doing, and you're reaching out in a way that makes you feel wholesome knowing that one step you took for yourself to make yourself happy and passionate, you're giving to others. And that is all I've ever wanted. And everyone that I've talked to, they're wonderful. And that moment when someone says, oh, that's, I can totally see you doing that. That fits you so perfectly. And it warms your heart knowing that this is what I was supposed to do. Yeah.
I agree 100%. So I feel like we could talk forever. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to get into more of the nitty gritty of what you offer now, that extension. All right. We'll be right back after a quick break.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Show us your scary selfie to win incredible prizes!
This is Caitlin Palmer with the Desk Wench Confessions, and Halloween is my favorite time of year. This year, I'm celebrating with the Scary Selfie Contest. To enter, just take a scary selfie in your awesome Halloween costume and post it on Instagram. Tag @myvetcandy, #scaryselfie. Three lucky winners will win $100 Visa gift card. Visit myvetcandy.com/scary for contest rules and regulations.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Katie Lewis, a registered veterinary technician and owner of Evolve Veterinary Consulting. And we are about to dig into what she offers within our veterinary profession through her consulting business.
So yeah, I went ahead and created the consulting business called Evolve Veterinary Consulting. The main thing that I try to focus on is understanding a passion. Not everybody knows their passion. Some people say, yes, it's this. And okay, what else have you tried? This. Okay, are you sure? Nothing else. You're golden. Because not a lot of people realize there's a veterinary technician in practice and there's one outside of practice. There's some that do other fields completely altogether, and not many technicians, especially in school, we're not taught that there is so much more out there for us. So we go in, we get into practice, and we go ahead and get our skill set. We get experience, understand ourselves and how we flow and work as a technician. And from there on, we learn, this is what I love doing, but how do I do that and still be happy and still do it to where I love it and that's all I do? So where I come into play is I help identify what your passion is if you don't know it. I help identify the solidifying that that is your one passion. You live it, you breathe it. That is your absolute love. Because we all do things. Oh yeah, I like GP. Is that all you do? Are you happy with it? But is that your one true thing that you are wonderful at?
Or is it all you know? That's the case for so many across the board.
Mm-hmm. So it's understanding that and also not just taking it as experience, but also you as a person. Like I said, for me, it was the cost to go, the moving, the quickness, multitasking. So that fit more of an ER setting for me. So how do you as a person outside, what strengths can we pull from that to be able to help you also in your professional career? From then also, we try to figure out, okay, so you found what you love. What is your overall goal as a career? I don't like to use the word job. This is not a job. Job is something you do. You go home, you call it good. This is your passion. This is what you want to do. You have goals. You have ambition. You get excited when you wake up. And that's the overall dream. I help connect that idea and understanding long-term goal, passion. And then I go ahead and make the third point of, okay, so who can I help you? Because I don't have all the answers. I can't be an expert in every field, every passion. I can't do it. There's no way. So what I do is I help understand all the different avenues and be able to branch out and say, hey, here is your door. Here is someone who's going to help you walk through that door. Now go out and have a journey. The phrase I like to use is, I'm going to give you a roadmap. You're going to have to do the walking. I cannot do that for you. I can only lead you if you get lost. Don't worry. I can have someone help you. I can help you. But I help from the networking aspect, connect to different people who want to, different people who have been on that journey and want to reach out. So it's connecting the need and the want and giving that together as well. And then from there, they just go out and they do what they need to do. Whether that be advanced certification, such as basic ones, you can get like the recover certification for CPR, for ER, you can get fear-free certification is a pretty, you know, common one a lot of people get, and all those different ones available. If it's not that, it's one of those, I don't want a certification. I just, what else can I do? I know there's in the clinic, but where else? Even for you, podcasting, not a, there's no way, right? There's no way I could go out and do something else besides working in a clinic. Absolutely there is. There is all this out there for you. So also identifying those avenues. And then, of course, the big mountain of them all, of ETS. Some people don't even realize how many there are out there. They say, oh, yeah, it's a certification. No. Definitely not a certification. It is a whole mammoth of a thing to undertake. But if you want to go that route, I will be more than happy to explain it, tell you how to do it, set you up for it. And if you need help, here's a handful of people, connect and go forth. Currently, I have a colleague, her interest is in clinical practice. She's amazing what she does. She's incredibly intelligent, scary intelligent, but she wants to go ahead and do clinical practice. And so she was trying to figure out, so you know how to do it. I know how, but connecting with the people to help me get there. Absolutely. Of course. One of her things was she worked for a corporate company. I had worked there before too. And she was having a complication with trying to figure out, who do I talk to within the company? You know, they weren't really sure because they've never had a technician go to them and want a VTS. Whole other conversation for a different day that they've never had a technician go to them for a VTS. But she wanted that and said, oh yeah, not only because I'd worked for the company previously, but because through networking and understanding, here, this is the person you need to talk to. She's in charge of this, this, and this. Go ahead and email her. Here's her email. And she said, oh, that's it? Yeah, just email her. No problem. Personal contact. You can go to your management team and tell them that this is it and call it good. And just connecting people, the smile on their face, knowing it's like, oh, I have somebody I can talk to? Absolutely. Of course you have someone to talk to. There's always someone to talk to. We are in this together. And not many people realize veterinary medicine people, they want to help each other. Absolutely. Come to me. How can I help you? I have yet to find someone who wants to keep all the knowledge to themselves and say, no, you're on your own. I got here on my own. You can do it. I've never had that. Through all the networking skills I have done, the people I've met, they said, oh, I may not be good at something, but what can I help you with? Every veterinary professional.
I love that response. I think we forget the power of just relationships. And it's good and it's bad that so many of those aren't face-to-face. But I think so much of it being behind the scenes, it takes away like the significance, like the potential impact behind those relationships, because they're not like a traditional, you know, I'm going to meet my friend for coffee. You're talking to someone across the country. But that's part of the beauty of it. You know, we could connect with people that we would have never been able to connect with otherwise. And I just love that you saw that there was a huge gap in that, specifically, you know, for veterinary technicians, and that you're really just kind of like the middleman, you know, like you're more than that, but you're connecting them to people that they would never have access to otherwise, and opening doors that they'd never even know existed. You know, I just think it's really powerful. I think there's a lot of veterinarians, including myself, that have no clue all the opportunities out there. And so why would it be any different for, you know, technicians as well? Again, I think so many of us are just so used to looking at traditional options, such as general practice, that that's kind of like what we keep ourselves in, because we're not aware that there's more out there. But we're also, we may be too exhausted to even look for more out there. So to have somebody helping you with that and making it a less daunting task, I think is just really, really cool.
It's scary. That's the best way I can put it without deeming it down and making it sound so childlike, but it is. It's scary. It's so scary going out there and digging into all this information and becoming overwhelmed. And then we all have our own thing going on as far as for, I can't do it. There's no way I can do this. That's not me. That's not happening. And then from there, we just switch off the light and we walk away and we say, we tried, but you can try, but let me help you get further than what you thought you could. Because sometimes we're all human. We just need that extra guidance. We need that extra confidence. Because sometimes we have so much self-doubt in ourselves that it's so easy to just walk away and unfortunately, it's easier. It's so much easier. There's nothing wrong with that, but we're all human.
It's true. If anyone's listening, regardless of, you know, if you're a veterinarian or a technician or not even within our field, and you're at a point where you want to just kind of call it quits, you know, within your profession, make sure that you're not stuck in this place that we're talking about, you know, that you're opening your mind to the possibility of there being different options out there that may just be a better fit for you. You may just need a pivot, like Katie did several times, to find like your sweet spot and, you know, kind of get some life breathed back into you. When you were talking about sorting through all of the information out there, I immediately thought so many of us are dealing with decision fatigue within our profession that the mere idea of having to look into anything is like, nope, I don't want to do it, you know, because we just don't even have the mental capacity to do it. If you're listening and you feel like you're stuck in that space, Katie could help you.
Absolutely. I enjoy it so much. And it was the craziest thing. I had a couple of weeks ago at the ER, she was done. She had already turned in her 2 weeks. She was going to go ahead and go. And I was talking to her and she's like, well, I'm going to move to this town and there's not a lot of options for clinics. I said, okay, well, what if you didn't want to work at GP? You know, you don't have to if you don't want to. She said, well, that's all that's up there. I was like, okay, but you had mentioned you want to work from home. Why don't you try, you know, pet poison hotline or, you know, insurance. There's pet insurance. You can work, you know, if you're so set on working from home, technician, you can do so much from home as a technician. You can consult. You can also do so many more things. And also, last time I checked, you're bilingual. And I don't know why we're so used to our skill set that it doesn't even click sometimes in our head that, oh, I can do that. That is a skill set. And she thought for a second, she's like, oh, I do, don't I? It's like, yes, girl, you're bilingual. That is a gift. You can do so much with that, especially in veterinary medicine. Veterinary technicians have not been around for very long at all. Our profession didn't even start till the late 80s. And from there, it's been nothing but progression and growth. Anymore, a lot of veterinary professionals, they don't have Spanish-speaking employees, Spanish-speaking skills. They don't, and veterinary terminology is not easily translatable into Spanish or other languages. You can use that. Absolutely. That is just gold for you. She said, oh my gosh, you're right. Like there is a place for you if you really truly want to, this is your goal and this is what you have to work with. Absolutely. You can do that if you wanted to. She said, you know, you're right. And her face, that is all I look forward to is their face when they realize I am amazing. I can do this. And that is all I want from people is to have that aha moment when they realize their worth and it is absolutely 100% gold. You are worth your weight in gold. You are worth it. Do not hesitate to realize what your value is as a person and as a technician.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, pet parents. This is your favorite lifestyle guru, Renee Michelle, and I'm excited to tell you about my new show on Pet Candy. Join me and make some cute pet stuff. Talk about life and love and everything in between. Check out the Renee Michelle Show on mypetcandy.com and let's have some fun.
Yeah, I feel like you're everybody's best friend. Like you just need to like build you up, but then also be a connector to other people.
That is also what it's on the brochure, veterinary technician advocate. It is advertised on there. Some people just need an advocate because they have had so much down and burnout and fatigue, and there is no way out. I promise you, you will feel good.
Yeah. So I want to kind of shift a little bit because you're talking about being their advocate. I know we were briefly talking before about, you know, from a technician standpoint and y'all perspective within possibly more traditional settings, whether it's general practice or ER, specialty clinics, from your viewpoint, how can we as veterinarians or practice managers go an extra step to help y'all see how much we appreciate you and your value, and maybe even outside of like just saying that, because that's like the first thing we should do, right? Just verbally say how much you appreciate your team. But can you give us some insight on what we can do from the other end of things to maybe help minimize the burnout on y'all end as well?
Oh, absolutely. So the part that becomes difficult as it's wonderful, of course, here's some thank yous, here's some kudo points. Great. I've been in that environment. It works well. We've had the point where, you know, you get certain points, you can exchange those points for gift cards of your choice. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Great. But I think it does come a lot too of, you know, without going too much detail, there is the value of raises and pay, and that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down another day. But I do think taking care of the mind is a big help, especially with COVID and everything happening. a lot of clinics are short-staffed, we're running low on energy and everything. So absolutely being able to have resources to keep us moving and going, appreciation days, spas, I just read the other day where for Veterinary Technician Appreciation Week coming up, they went ahead and had a spa day. Everybody got massages. I actually worked at a clinic where it happened. Those are wonderful. Not absolutely necessary all the time, but those are a nice little, we'll touch on for a big gift. Having small gifts, abilities. So, you know, I had work at a clinic where we get coats, backpacks, little, you know, trinkets, whatever to help with coming to work, make it easier. I've had a couple where they had little personalized name tag things for our name badges, stuff like that, a little personal. And I do like when clinics, especially you can do it in a smaller clinic, smaller personal ones where you don't have to be as custom, but knowing like that we have individuality to add on that nice little touch to say, this one's yours. I know it's yours because I added this. Like, I had a friend that loved donuts. So she got a whole box of donuts because we know them as a person.
That's such a good point because, I mean, deep down, we all just want to know that we're seen and heard. So by going that extra mile and getting to know your staff and thinking of fun, creative ways to personalize their, you know, however you're expressing appreciation to them, it confirms that to them, you know, that they're not just a warm body in your practice. And so I love that you mentioned that.
When I worked in the service industry, once upon a time as a bartender / server, we had what was called a UPTs, unique personal touches. And we always, when we had a client or a guest at the time, we'd say, hey, I'm going to go add a UPT to that. And we all understood that, hey, give that server an extra few minutes. She's going to go add something special for that table just for them to make them feel the extra recognition that, hey, we took that extra step for you. And so I think when you start to add that into there, and of course, it's hard when you have, you know, a large staff or anything like that, that it becomes tricky. But I think when as a team, you can come together and recognize that one special thing for that one person, even if it's something so tiny, it can mean miles to them. And that'll be the extra thing that gets them through the week, the month, whatever it takes. It doesn't have to be that way in all instances. Honestly, just having a safe space for us to go and decompress, it would be wonderful.
I agree. I think so much of it is just recognizing that we all need time spent throughout the day to just breathe, go to the bathroom, eat, you know, like the basic necessities of life that seem to be a challenge sometimes within the veterinary field.
I will admit from management side, that's one part, but from a veterinarian's perspective, I have been so fortunate to have veterinarians who are 100% advocates for their technicians. I have been told, you're my babies, nobody hurts my babies. So when mama technicians and daddy technicians come in and take care of their technicians, it's one of those, hey, you know what? I'll hold for that blood draw, go to the bathroom. Like, really? Thank you so much. I've been having to do that for a while. Like, hey, go eat. So, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I forgot what they call them. Beta technicians or something. They try to morph the word together. It's adorable, but we're going to try our technician skills as a veterinarian. So they said, we're going to try to tape this catheter in. I'll probably not do well and you'll have to fix it in a minute, but I'll try this. Go get a bite to eat. Oh, thank you so much. Those go so far.
It's so simple, but yes, so it's so true. So hopefully our listeners are, you know, taking notes of all this because, you know, obvious our main focus today was on our veterinary technicians and how they can move forward and take advantage of the resources that you're gathering. But there's so much that we can learn as veterinarians as well from talking to y'all more. Like, y'all are just as important. We need advocates for y'all just as much as we need advocates for us. And there's no reason we can't be advocates for each other.
Absolutely. And it's stressful. It's been stressful since COVID. Of course, it's September already. We got holiday stuff coming up. You know, it's going to be stressful. It's always stressful, but this time of year, it starts to get more and more stressful. So the best we can do is be there for each other.
Yes, absolutely. So I hope that y'all are inspired to maybe get creative as we move into the holidays as to what you could do for one another, for if you are a veterinarian, for your staff, possibly even ask for input from, you know, a few of them. Make sure that what you're doing is what they need. And if there's one if you had to pick one thing, we'll end with this, that was your, like, stands out as your favorite, like, appreciation gift or gesture as a technician, what would that be? Can you think of, like, one thing?
Yes, I absolutely 100% know. She worked at one of my previous clinics. It is the craziest thing ever. Her thing is Halloween. I adore her to pieces. She actually gives gifts out for Halloween instead of regular holidays. So she does, of course, St. Patty's Day is her thing, but typical non-traditional holidays that most people don't think of for gift giving, that's her thing. So I was wonderful. She calls them boo bags. I adore them. They have the cutest little things. They're so small and fun, but it's a glow stick. It's like a little stuff, like little animal thing. One of the girls got a glow-in-the-dark cockroach necklace, and she loved it because she has hissing cockroaches. Those small ones, by far, were the best ones ever because they had these small little odd trinket things for Halloween, but you look at them and you can't help but smile because they're not what you expected, but they're perfect for the Halloween / veterinary world. I love them. I love them so much. I truly miss them since I'm not there anymore, but those are my favorite. I absolutely love the boo bag gifts.
I love that. So it doesn't have to be anything extravagant, you guys. And you totally made me have a flashback to veterinary school. I think it was our freshman year. We had, I'm pretty sure it was a Halloween party where we all brought like really disgusting baked goods, you know, that looked like, you know, really, you know, where I'm getting at. But I still remember that party. Like, have a gross Halloween party at your clinic.
Do non-traditional. A lot of times it's just the memory making. That's the fun part and the laughing. That's what I look back, even normal life, veterinary. It doesn't matter. When I can look back and remember laughing and having so much fun of it, the non-traditional ones are by far the best ones.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Shannon Gregoire. If you're like me, it's tough keeping up with everything VetMed, but now I'm going to make your life a lot easier. Check out my show on Vet Candy TV, available on iTunes, YouTube, IGTV, and Facebook Watch. Catch up with all things VetMed with me.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, Katie. I'd love to just send our listeners off with more information as to how they could get in touch with you, follow you, all the good stuff.
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure. So much fun. I hope any information I can give out there to people, definitely get in touch. I'd be happy to help. On my website, evolvevet.com, I actually offer a free 30-minute consultation just to see if this would be a good fit. You don't have to commit. Honestly, it's just a talk to see if it'd be worth it for you. So why not take that jump?
Yeah, that's awesome that you offer that. All right. Well, that is a wrap, you guys. Like I said, we have a lot of really exciting guests coming up. So make sure that you are staying in touch with getting notifications and all the good stuff on when those come out. Until next time, this is Living Well with Dr. Jessica. Have a great day, y'all.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.